Well, we've been going through, we started a new sermon series last time, which was 2 weeks ago, called The Lord Who Saves. We've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to be finishing up the book of Deuteronomy through this sermon series. And we've been looking at how God has worked in the past. We've looked at how God has commanded his people to follow him. He introduced the Ten Commandments. He was repeating to the people, this new generation of people that have wandered through the wilderness, he's repeating to the people what it means to have a relationship with God. And he, in the book of Deuteronomy, God reminds his people, these are all the commandments. These are all the commandments that I want you to obey. And by obeying these commands, we are able to have a relationship. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to other people. I want you to love me, God says, and God says, I want you to love other people. And as we come to the last part, the latter part of the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to see a number of passages that talks about who God is and tells us and shares with us that this is who God is, and this is why we would want to have a relationship with God. Last time we talked about the blessings and curses, and we talked about how God is a God who blesses, but God is also a God who curses. And for us, as a response to that, we want to know, we want to, rather than seeking the blessings, what we want to do is we want to seek the Lord. Because it's when we're in relationship with the Lord, that's when we begin to really experience his blessings. Today we're going to continue by talking about who the Lord is. Through our passage today, let's look to our passage today, which is Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 2 to 9, and also verse 29. It's going to be a little bit easy to remember this passage because of the repetition of numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 2 to 9, and also verse 29. Our sermon title for today is Eyes to See. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 171. Page 171. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 2 to 9 and verse 29. All right, this is the reading of God's Word. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you and your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten bread and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us to battle. But we defeated them. We took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Therefore, keep the word of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." And verse 29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Amen. How many of you have seen the movie Back to the Future? Okay, a number of us. Back to the Future is a movie about how the scientist creates a time-traveling machine, this car. And they made a couple of these movies. Now, in Back to the Future 2, there's this story about how some things were changed in the past when they went into the past, and it changed the future so that it affected the future. And one of the things that happens is that they took an almanac into the future, into the past, into the past. And an almanac is this book that people used to use when the internet didn't exist, and it was something that had all these facts about the past. And so the main bad guy in Back to the Future 2 is able to get his hands on this almanac and finds out all the winners of the different sports games, and he's able to get a lot of money because he's betting a lot of money because he knows who's going to win and becomes a rich person. Now, it's a fun story. If you're interested, you can go back and watch that movie. But here's the thing. Wouldn't it be great if we knew what would happen in the future? I think for some of us, this is an easy answer. We would say, yes, I would love to know what happens in the future. Maybe for some of us, we don't want to know what happens in the future. But for some of us, we really want to know what happens in the future. And so we even pray prayers that kind of stems from this kind of heart. God, tell me the way that I should go so that I can be blessed. I want to know the way that I need to go because I want to know that I'm going to be blessed in the future. There's this desire for us to know what's going to happen in the future because we want to know that things are going to be okay. We want to know that things are going to turn out all right. And so we seek this thing. We seek what happens in the future. But you know, as we looked at this last verse, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The point of this is not to say that God has secret things and he's not going to reveal it to us. That's not the point of what this verse is saying. The point of what this verse is saying is that God has already revealed a lot of things to us. And because God has already revealed a lot of things to us, we need to hold on to these things that God has revealed. And he's given us enough information. He's given us enough for us to know what to do today. So those things that we don't know about, don't worry about them. You don't have to think about those things. Focus on the things that God has revealed to us, because those are the things that belong to us, to our children, and those are the things that will guide us and lead us in our lives today. And so the main idea for today is this. Open your eyes. Open your eyes to the things that God has already revealed to you. The things that God has already revealed to us through his word. Open your eyes and believe. And the three points that we're going to go through today are see his power, number two, see his provision, and number three, see his victory. Again, the main idea is to open your eyes and see the things that God has already revealed to us through his word. And believe in those things. And the three points that we'll be going through are, number one, see his power, number two, see his provision, and number three, see his victory. So let's talk about this first point. See his power. Open your eyes and see his power. Last time, as I mentioned, we're talking about blessings and curses. And we're talking about these things because if we do obey the Lord, if we do have this relationship with God, then the Lord says that he would bless us. Now, the question is, how do we continue to look to the Lord? How do we continue to obey him? What does it mean to have a relationship with him? Well, one of the first steps, we talked a little bit about that last time, but today what I want to emphasize is that one of the first steps in having a relationship with God is to actually know who God is, to understand what the Bible says about who God actually is. The interesting thing is that when we look at these verses here, he talks about Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt." Okay, remember, if you remember all that we've been talking about in the book of Deuteronomy, the group of people that are gathered together and the group of people that Moses is speaking to are the group of people that have wandered through the wilderness, and these are not the people that came out of Egypt. Well, some of them were children, and so maybe they won't remember. The older generation, they all passed away in the wilderness. And so it's interesting that in this passage today, while Moses is speaking and giving God's word to the people, it's interesting that he says to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt." They didn't see with their eyes. So what is this talking about? What Moses is saying and what God is saying to his people in this passage is this. You have heard from your parents. You have heard through the priests and through Moses about all that God has done in the past. God did amazing wonders. God took them through these great trials. They saw the 10 plagues happen before their eyes. They saw the pillar of cloud and the fire that was guiding them through the wilderness. They saw and they heard about these stories about even how the Red Sea opened up, the great Red Sea opened up, and how they were able to walk through it on dry land. They heard about all these things, and even though this new generation, they didn't see it with their own eyes, but the fact that they were there right before the promised land, they were about to go in, the fact that they were not in Egypt is the result of all the things that God did in the past. In other words, God worked powerfully in the past. See his power and how he worked in the past that led you to be where you are today. They weren't able to see the actual events, but what they do see is the fact that they are standing on the edge as they're about to go into the promised land. That's what they know. So then for us today, it's not just about how God has worked in your life. It's about how God has worked in your parents' lives. How God has worked in the nation that you were in. How God has worked in history hundreds and thousands of years in the past. How God has worked powerfully, and we did not see it with our own eyes. We have not heard with our own ears how God has worked powerfully. We didn't hear God's voice, but we read about it. We study history, and we can put the connections, we can make the connections about how God has been guiding all of humankind all through history, so that somehow today we are here together. We are here in Taiwan. We're able to view stuff online because God has been working powerfully to provide circumstances where there was enough peace so that people can even have the space, the capacity to develop new technologies and to be creative. God has worked in all of history in powerful ways so that we can be where we are today. See his power. God is a God of power, and God has been working in the past. And even though God has worked powerfully in the past, still he says this next verse to the people. He says, "But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to hear." What is this talking about? Well, this is where we come to our next point. See his provision. See his provision. So God makes clear that he's worked in the past. God makes it clear that he's a God that did these great wonders. And it's almost like, you know, when we're young when we're younger and we're reading through some fiction novel, we're reading through some book, and we have an imagination of seeing these great things happening. But then we come back to reality and we're thinking, what about my life? Can something great like that happen in my life? Maybe for some people, maybe even for some of you, you hear about these great things that happen in the Bible. You hear about these great things that happen in the past, and you have this imagination and you think, wow, God did amazing things in the past. But then you stop and think, what about my life? Is God working in my life? And sometimes in our lives, we think that our daily lives is just the usual grind. It's just the same old thing. You go to work, you come home, you sleep, you wake up. Some of you have to walk the dog. Some of you have to entertain your children, get your kids ready for school. And it's just the daily grind. And you just ask that question, is God working in my life? Well, the passage goes on. And what we want to see here is that not only has God worked in these great, powerful ways, but God is also working in the small details of your life, even today. See his provision for your daily life. See how God has been working. Look what it says. It says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. He's speaking to the people back then, and he's saying, look, while you were growing up, I have led you all the way. Every step of the way, every path that you were supposed to go, I was leading you. Sometimes you thought you weren't supposed to go there. Sometimes you thought you wanted to go back to Egypt. But in fact, I was leading you all the way in the way that you were supposed to go. It goes on, your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. Your clothes, your sandals, they're like these little things that are just on you every day, and you don't notice that they haven't worn out. It's kind of like your shoes, right? I mean, it talks about sandals here. It's like your shoes. You don't notice your shoes are wearing out until you've noticed that they've worn out. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that you don't really think about what's going on with your shoes on a daily basis. You don't check your shoes every day. You don't check your car tires every day like you're supposed to. I'm trying to pass the driving test recently. And right before the driving test, or at the beginning of the driving test, you're supposed to check the tires. Otherwise, you fail right away, right? You don't check the tires every single time. You don't check your shoes every time to see if it's good or not. Until one day you slip and you're like, oh, maybe I need new shoes. Or until someone says, hey, you have a hole in your shoe. Oh, maybe I need to get new shoes. Or when your sole, is it the sole? The sole falls off. And you think, oh, I need to get new shoes. You don't notice these small things until something happens there. And God says to the people, look, through all this time, you might be thinking I wasn't working, but even in these little things that you don't even notice, these things that you take for granted, I've been working to provide for you. I've made it possible so that your clothes won't wear out. Imagine these people. Maybe they were wearing the same clothes for 40 years. I mean, we might think that's boring today, but imagine clothes not wearing out for that long, sandals not wearing out for that long. God is not just the God who is powerful and great and doing these wonderful wonders from far off. God is also a God who is near and sees every detail of your life and is working through every detail. Even the things that we don't think about. Like, Why does my heart continue to beat? How am I able to take my next breath? When I go to sleep, how am I still surviving even when I'm not conscious? God is guiding you and providing for each of us, even in these small things. This is something that Jesus reminds us of. Actually, let me explain a little bit more here. You have not eaten bread, and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. What is this talking about? You have not eaten bread? Well, the normal way that they would make bread was that they would have grain, they would have these plants that would grow, and that they would harvest the grain, and then they would use that to make their bread. But while they were wandering in the wilderness, they didn't stay in one place where they were able to farm. They weren't able to have the material to make their own food. But what God did was that God provided manna. God provided this food that would appear every morning. God provided for the people. What about you have not drunk wine, or strong drink? You know, sometimes this part is a little bit difficult to understand. Wine, strong drink is talked about in the Bible as something that's used during a time of celebration. But it's also something that's used to help with maybe stomach pains. So it's something like medicine. It's also something that's talked about in the Bible as something that you would give to someone that's sad all the time. Give it to them so that they can forget their worries. And so when they're wandering in the wilderness, God says to them, look, you didn't have a need for wine. You didn't have a need for a strong drink. What that means is that, look, you guys were okay. You didn't need this type of medicine or this type of thing that will help you to forget about your worries because you were provided for. You didn't have all the worries that you might usually have. You were provided for. See God who has this power to rescue you out of Egypt, but also see his provision. See how God has provided for you in every way. Jesus talks about this even in the New Testament in this way. He says, look, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all the people that don't believe in God, all the people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, all the Gentiles, they seek after all these things, what to wear, what to eat, and all these things. But for you, you don't need to be anxious about these things because your Father in heaven knows that you need them. Rather, seek God. Seek his kingdom. Seek what it is to live in righteousness. Obey him. Seek God and have a relationship with him. And all these other things that you're seeking, all these things that you're usually anxious about, they'll be provided for you. So open your eyes to see who God actually is. In order for us to have a relationship with him, we need to know who God is. Open your eyes. Remember. Understand that God is a powerful God that has worked all through history. But also remember that our God is the God of details. And he's providing for you and working in your life even now. And the last point that we want to look at is that we also want to see his victory. You know, as the people were traveling through the wilderness and as they were getting ready to go into the promised land, they encountered some opposition. And so in the last part of our passage today, it talks about how they encountered some opposition. Some people, they came out to fight against the Israelites. But, it says, but we defeated them. there was victory. We took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of Manassites. So this is talking about the victories that they had on the east side of the Jordan before they went into the promised land. On the east side of the Jordan River, they conquered these kings that came out to fight against them. And God said, look, I'll not only give you the promised land, but you can even have this land here. And the Israelites, they experienced victory. It's not something that's just in the past. It's not just the little things. But even in their endeavor to have victory over these people that were fighting against them, all these the people that were coming to cause trouble, they experienced success in their battle against these people. They experienced this type of victory. The reason why they're able to experience this victory is not because they had strength in themselves, but it was because of how God worked in their lives. It's because of how God gave them the strength. It was because of how God gave them the courage. It was because of how God led them through the wilderness. And so because of that, they were able to have that victory because God was working through it all. Now, that's what happened back then. What does that mean for us today? Does that mean that we're supposed to go out and fight and have victories by killing people? The Bible explains to us a little bit more clearly that, you know, it was never about those people. Even in the Old Testament, it wasn't about the people, but it was about how they continued to sin against God. It was about how those people were against the Lord. And so there is this cosmic battle. There's this battle that happens beyond this world. There's this battle that happens on a spiritual level, and that's something that we face every day. This is what it says in Ephesians 6. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, our battle is not against other people per se, but our battle is against the sins that exist in our own hearts, the sins that are happening around us. Our battle is against these evil forces, the spiritual forces that affect our daily lives, that we forget about. So God is saying, open your eyes to see that God is a God that has power, that has been working in all of history. God is a God that is working in your personal lives and providing for you every day. But God is also a God that grants victory over these spiritual forces. It is possible to overcome your temptations. It is possible to obey God. It is possible to experience victory because of how God is working in your lives. A lot of times in our church, we emphasize the idea about how we fail, and we do. And we get stuck in this idea that we just fail and we will never experience victory, and we just need to look to Jesus. That's true. But at the same time, what we forget about a lot of times is that because we have Jesus, what that means for our lives today is that we can experience victory. We can overcome our temptations. We can fight against sin. We can speak up against the false ideologies that exist in this world. We can stand up for what is true. We can actually be a blessing to this world. We can do that. But we have to be aware. We have to open our eyes to see that this battle exists. We have to be fighting against these temptations. We have to seek to obey our God. I point back to this verse here because, you know what? Even if we're encouraged by some of the things that we hear today, even if some of us were encouraged to say, I'm going to go out and, yeah, I'm going to follow the Lord now. The fact is that some of us, as soon as this service is over, we're going to forget. Or as soon as you go back to work tomorrow or go back to school tomorrow and all the temptations start coming back, you're going to forget. The Bible says here in this passage, and actually this verse is really important because this verse is repeated in the New Testament as well. It says, to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. God says to the people of Israel back then, look, you've experienced the results of my powerful work in the past. And I've been leading you through the desert all this time, through the wilderness. And yet you continue to fall away. I've shown you how great of a God I am. I've shown you how good of a God I am. And yet you continue to turn away from me. And that's because our hearts, especially those people that are not believers. If you are not a believer, I want you to listen to this carefully. Our hearts are continually going to turn away from the Lord as long as the Lord is not working in our lives to open our eyes. God is the one that's going to do that work. Even though I'm saying to you, open your eyes, but actually it's God that's going to open our eyes to be able to see, to finally be able to understand, to finally be able to be thankful and grateful, and to have a heart that says, yes, I will follow you, God. I want to obey you. I want to live for you. I want to bless other people. No matter how much a person comes to church, no matter how much they hear the gospel, no matter how much they hear about what the Bible says, a person will continue to live their old way of life unless God opens their heart and causes them to say, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to begin to live really for the Lord. Only God is able to do this kind of work in our lives. And so what do we do? If God is the one that's going to do this, what do we do? Well, the Bible says, just open your eyes and believe what Christ has done. Because ultimately it's Jesus Christ who has given the victory. Jesus Christ is the one that has had the ultimate victory. And he will work in your lives to be able to see. The fact that all of you are sitting here today, or the fact that you're viewing online, the fact that you're able to hear this sermon, it's evidence that God is already working in your life. And what do we need to do in response? All we need to do is say, Lord, I can't do this. Please help me. I want to be able to see. When you hear this sermon, the only action item is to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Plead with the Lord to open your eyes, to understand what it means to have a relationship with him. I'm speaking to you that don't believe. I'm speaking to you that don't call yourselves Christian. Today is the day that you can cry out to the Lord and say, please open my eyes. I want to be able to see you. I want to be able to understand who you are. I want to have a relationship with you. Those of you that are Christians, God has already opened your eyes. God has already worked in your lives to help you to understand. It's just that sometimes what we do is that we close our eyes again. We close our eyes again and pretend, or we forget that God is a God of power. That God is the God who does provide for you. That God is the one that's working in your life right now to give you victory. You can overcome your sins. God has already done this work. And we know this because Jesus Christ, when he came, he appeared on the scene. In the very beginning of his ministry, he entered a synagogue and he opened up a scroll and he said this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I am here to open the eyes of the blind. I am going to do this work." And Jesus Christ, he lived this life. He showed his power by controlling by commanding the winds and the waves to stop. He displayed his power to the people. And Jesus, when he arrived on the scene, he also provided for the people by feeding the 5,000, by feeding the 4,000. Jesus provided for his people and he led the disciples all along the way. And ultimately, Jesus said, "I will take all the sins of my people upon myself and I will be the perfect sacrifice. And I will have victory over sin by dying for them. I will die for my people. And I will take care of the problem of their sin. And not only that, I will rise again from the dead. And I will have victory over death." And because Jesus Christ accomplished this, Jesus Christ made it possible for us to have a relationship with God. He opened our eyes. And this is what it says. This is what Paul says as he's thinking about other believers. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus." By the way, I just want to pause here and say, if you are not a Christian, but you are here today and you're saying, "Yeah, I want to cry out to God for the first time and say, I want to have this relationship with you, Jesus. I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe that you died from the dead. You rose again from the dead." If that's you, I want you to know that you can include yourself in Paul's prayer here. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." He's basically praying, "I want our God to continue to open your eyes, to give you wisdom through the Spirit that's working, to open your eyes and have a deeper understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, having your eyes opened and understanding. It's not just about your eyes opening, but it's about understanding and receiving Jesus Christ, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? How God continues to provide for you, knowing that we are receiving everything from the Father as children of God. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This is my prayer for all of you as well. I give thanks to the Lord for all of you who do believe. Even if you may have doubts at times. But I give thanks to the Lord that God is working in your life. You do have a relationship with him because he started that relationship with you. And so, brothers and sisters, let's open our eyes and remember that our God is a God of power that has worked in our past, that God has worked in history to bring us to where we are today. God is a God who is providing for us. See that he provides, even in the little details of our lives. And remember that God is a God of victory. He is giving you the power today to be able to overcome your sins. We may not do it perfectly, but God is encouraging us and saying, remember, I died for your sins. It's okay. Get back up again. Do it again. Let's go. And let's go and bless this world for the kingdom of God. God is working in us. Jesus Christ is working in us. The Spirit is working in our lives. So brothers and sisters, let's stand up. Let's obey the Lord. Let's live for him. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that when we were powerless to do anything right, when we were powerless to fix our eyes on you and to remember that you are a God of power, a God of provision, and a God of victory, Lord, you took the first step. You loved us. You sacrificed yourself for us. And you gave us everything that we needed, everything that we need today. You are working in our lives. You are guiding us. And so, Lord, for these things, I thank you. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in everyone's heart here, all those that hear this sermon today, Lord, that you would cause them to open their eyes and see who you are, that they may begin to live their lives for you. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.